Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Get to it in just a second. Presented by Breaks Plus.
Child, please.
Somebody brings up the point. You're only considering quarterbacks for the fifth-year option. For all other positions, it makes a lot of sense. You guys are so dumb sometimes. You're right. You're right, because I need that fifth year to figure out whether or not Garrett Bowles can play.
For all of the positions?
Come on.
The fifth year option for some positions, all it does is benefit the organization. For running backs? I mean, come on. How about Gordon? For the Chargers? I mean, seriously. You know, I mean, he's a free agent now. He sat out for however long he sat out for. Melvin Gordon comes back. He doesn't play great. But they're playing hard ball with him. The bottom line is the fifth year option to me, it hurts the other positions. And the quarterbacks, if you're worth your salt, you're never going to see the fifth year anyhow.
If a guy gets to his fifth year option, I don't care what the position is, it is a very clear message for the organization that we think you're ordinary.
100%.
That's it.
Melvin Gordon had one season in his first four where he started 16 games. He's under 4 yards a carry for his career except for one season. I mean, I happen to agree with the Chargers. The whole fifth year argument to me is ridiculous.
Mahomes has played 3 years. He's been in the league 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Millennial Ben, can I get some Efrony music here? Please.
Oh, D-Mac wants to throw a bet down on Mahomes getting a new deal before training camp. Or we should say during training camp. Before the season.
Before the season.
He wants to throw a bet down.
Okay, so Patrick Mahomes is going to make this season about $4 million?
Uh-huh.
He's going to make about $4 million. For this season.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a deal. If the Chiefs want to, they can have Patrick Mahomes play this year at $4 million.
Right.
And if they want to pick up the fifth-year option, that would cost, about another $4 or $5 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they could, if the fifth-year option is so important and so valuable, they could have Patrick Mahomes, the best player in football, play the next 2 years for about a grand total of $10 million.
Right.
I mean, wow. Talk about the value of the fifth-year option. What a bonanza.
Right. And so...
Okay, let's do a bet. What is the likelihood? Come on, D-Mac, I'll do it. What is the likelihood that Patrick Mahomes plays under a fifth-year option?
See, I would.
Let's do some sort of bet. I'll do it.
Yeah, you do the 50-year option. I'll go ahead and I'll just say, hey, steak dinner, me and you, D-Mac, Shanahan's. I say he gets done before the start of the regular season.
Before game one.
Of the regular season.
Of the regular season next year.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. That would be my, here's one from D-Mac. Mark Schlereth finally gets it. The 50-year option is benefit for the teams, not the players. Laugh out loud. News travels slow on the island. Let me tell you what happens. D-Mac, if you take a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or a good player or an all-pro player or an all-star player into his fifth year, you as an organization are cheap, you stink,
and nobody wants to play for you. And you are destined, you know what you're destined for? Mediocrity at best.
Well,
if that's how you handle your franchise.
If you're dealing with a really good player, if you're dealing with a spare player and you bring him into his fifth year, it is an admission by the team that on a valuable first round pick, you whiffed. So apparently news travels fast to slow to his island. Man, you gotta get some better three-eyed ravens there, D-Mac. If a player gets to his fifth year option, they are either Cincinnati Bengals inept sheep, or it's an admission by the franchise that we whiffed on this player. We'll just keep him around just because why not? But he's not special.
Mm-hmm. And you think
he's
about,
not a difference. He will not get a second contract.
Right. And you think about
us.
You think about this organization in general. Von Miller is the last first rounder.
Von Miller is the last first round pick of the Denver Broncos to get a second contract.
That was a decade ago.
Okay. I don't want to hear about fifth year options. You know, the true measure of a successful franchise is how many of your first round picks did you hit on so well
that you gave them second contracts?
Second contracts. And the Broncos have given out one in the last 10 years.
That's mind boggling. 2011. Vaughn was drafted. That's the last first rounder that got a second contract with you. Everybody else left. You decided not to pay in free agency or you cut them. Shane Ray, gone. Paxton Lynch, gone. Garrett Bowles will not get a second rounder. Sylvester Williams, gone. I mean, come on. Level of ineptitude when it comes to your first, and let's face it. You got to hit on those picks.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, it's one of two things. Either you're being exceptionally cheap,
mm-hmm.
or you acknowledge that your player that you drafted in the first round is average,
right?
And isn't a difference maker, and that you whiffed, that you made a mistake
mm-hmm.
on that first round pick, and that you are not going to offer him a second contract. So, whew. Okay. Luke, just admit the fifth year option for the most part is beneficial for teams. How?
No.
I love how he threw in for the most part. Right. How is it beneficial for teams?
It's beneficial for teams. It's beneficial for teams because, again, if you screwed up, right? You can feather it out over 5 years. It's the point being is that you don't have to sink money in a second contract in a crappy player. That's how it's beneficial. But you know what you're doing? You're paying a crappy player on his fifth year. So I would say this. The reason it's not beneficial for teams is because it allows you to sit on a mistake. As opposed to getting over that mistake.
Right.
Right. It allows you to continue to kick the can down the road and say, hey, we got a first rounder here. Mm-hmm. And when he figures it out, it's going to be amazing. How many guys go through 5 years and all of a sudden, bam, all of a sudden have, how many guys go through 5 years of average or dreck and all of a sudden after the fifth year figure it out? How many times? I mean, you could probably count on one hand the number of guys who have gone on to have really stellar careers after not understanding the game for 5 years. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of a guy that was like Nowheresville for his first 4 or 5 years.
Let's make sure we make sure everyone's clear on this, okay? Disingenuous D-Mac, okay? DD, disingenuous D-Mac. He makes his case for the fifth year option. He plants his flag on the idea for quarterbacks. His argument is that you draft a quarterback. Okay. This is his fifth year option mantra has never been about just every ordinary position player. It's been about quarterbacks. That the reason you draft a quarterback in the first round is that you get the fifth year option, and that has been completely debunked by us today, because the only two quarterbacks who have seen a fifth year option implemented is Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, two quarterbacks I think we can all agree were busts. Okay?
First and second overall picks.
Okay?
Let me ask you this.
If a quarterback is taken in the first round, let me go slow here for people like D-Mac to understand. If a quarterback goes in the first round and he is a clear hit, there is no way he sees the fifth year. So the idea that you draft a quarterback for a fifth year option is a complete myth.
I'm trying to think of quarterbacks who were just below average, that were first rounders, that were below average, and all of a sudden, deep into their careers, they figured it out. The only guy that comes to mind, now he got drafted by a crap organization in New England at the time, was Jim Plunkett. And then he went to Oakland and ended up winning a Super Bowl and being a very good, very accomplished quarterback for them. Other than Jim Plunkett, and you know, you can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line if you can think of somebody else, but give me another first rounder that was essentially a bust in his first 5 years and all of a sudden figured it out. I don't know how long Jim Plunkett was in New England before he became, you know, a Raider.
Hold on. I like this one. If Mike and Mark are on Gilligan's Island, which, by the way, guys, I agree is a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Then D-Mac is Tattoo on Fantasy Island. Please. Please. Go. You know what I need. Go find it. Go get it done, guys.
I need a
sign. Get it, okay?
I might have to make another sign.
Come on.
Since
apparently we're talking about islands now, okay, and we've been charged with being Gilligan's Island, okay?
Yep.
Fine.
Yeah.
The Drive lives on Fantasy Island, and if I'm Gilligan, okay. D-Mac is Tattoo.
Come on, Tattoo. He was drafted in 71.
Smiles, everybody. Smiles!
Okay, Plunkett was drafted in 71. He spent 71 through 75 in New England, San Francisco 76, 77, and then the Raiders from 78 to 86, and he really never did much of any. Oh, well, he was rookie of the year in 71. I didn't realize that. For New England. So he showed promise in New England, but they were such a crappy team, so he doesn't even fit my category. Tell me the guy that was a bust for his first 5 years at the quarterback position. He was rookie of the year, so he wasn't his bust the first 5 years.
People bring up Rich Gannon, but Gannon never really got the chance to play much quarterback early on.
Was Gannon a first rounder?
Oh, God, no.
No.
I'm saying a first rounder. Okay, yeah.
Because Gannon was asked to switch to safety coming out of college. I mean, I know Rich well. He's been on the program a bunch. He was asked to, and I played with him for a year in Washington. He's a fourth rounder out of Delaware. I'm talking about a first rounder that was considered a bust after his first 5 years that all of a sudden came on and became a Pro Bowl type of quarterback.
Alex Smith?
Yeah. That's...
Now, if Ryan Tannehill goes on to have an exceptional NFL career.
Or as John Gruden calls him, Tannehill.
Okay. If that happens, okay, you might have something there.
Right.
But it won't be with the team he started out with, the team that drafted him with the idea of, fifth-year option.
Interesting.
All right. Did we ever do a question mark?
I don't think we did.
I think we did. I think some questions arose during all that. But I did have a specific question that I picked out. Someone even put the hashtag question mark. So I want to reward that person. It's somebody who bugs me all the time. It'll make his day. Can I just say this will make his day? It'll make his week. It'll make his month.
Okay.
It'll make 2020 for him. The fact that he got his question answered. Question mark presented by Breaks Plus, because he's a huge Avalanche fan. So he asked, question mark, Mark, do you believe the Avalanche did enough at the trade deadline? There you go, texter. I took care of you.
Who cares?
He didn't put a name on it.
Oh. Do I believe they did enough?
Enough. They got a bottom...
Mike, I really don't care.
They got a bottom six forward center.
Right.
In Nemestikov.
They got depth there and because they've had some injuries,
and they
right?
got backup goalie depth. Hutchinson is not, you know, hey, if Philip Grubauer isn't right, then,
right.
you know, Michael Hutchinson, he is backup. He's the backup to Francois if Grubauer's going to be out. That's all he is. He's just organizational goalie depth. Okay. Those are their moves. Did they right. do enough?
No. Well, here's what the plan was. They went out and got a, you know, what, line 2-3 type of forward, right? For depth.
Mm-hmm.
Until they get some injuries, until they get some guys back from injury.
Correct.
So what they're telling you is we feel like our team is good enough
mm-hmm.
across the board to compete for a Stanley Cup without doing much. We needed some depth until we can get guys healthy. They're saying that the guys they have, they believe that they can go deep in the playoffs and maybe compete for a Stanley Cup championship when they get healthy, and we just have to tide the stem. Or stem the tide, I guess.
Did you just say tide the stem?
Yeah, stem the tide.
Stem the tide. I've never heard anybody say that.
To go backwards?
What's stem backwards a bit. But you do that a lot. You like to say scores backwards. You like to say they lost, you know, 7-10.
Well, it comes back from my dyslexic background.
Yeah.
You know, I had a really
tide
hard time.
Tide the stem.
Yeah, so I say things backwards all the time.
You know, that's... I admire that. I've never heard tide the stem.
Yeah, where does stem the tide come from?
It's like, you know, so, you know, it's like, here comes the floodwaters, right?
Right, right,
you know,
right.
We're throwing the sandbags in there to try right. to stem the tide, stem the flood, stem the tide.
Well,
it's like you're trying, it's
the slower stop.
So it's like, okay, so it's like a basketball team goes on a, you know, a 10-0 run
right.
and the opposing coach calls a timeout to stem the tide.
So I'm tied in the stem.
All right.
I'm saying they're flowing over the top of the sandbag.
All right.
What were we talking about?
Avalanche.
Oh, yeah, the abs. Yeah, this is just simply to stem the tide.
Uh-huh.
Until they get healthy again.
You know what? They do have enough, especially when they get their guys back. They've got enough secondary scoring. It's been my biggest pet peeve of them the last couple of years. I didn't think they had enough secondary scoring. They didn't address that, and I think it was an Achilles heel for them. Joe Sakic did a wonderful job.
Achilles!
Thank you. Joe Sakic did a wonderful job of bringing in that kind of secondary scoring that's paid off. He's hit with the guys like Burakovsky, Donskoy, Kadri before he got hurt, but he'll mm-hmm. be back. So job well done there. But as I've been saying since the new year started, my two biggest concerns about their ability to go deep in the playoffs are, do they have enough? Are their defensemen good enough to be able to close down, shut down a lead in the third period of a playoff game? I question that. They didn't do anything to address that. And my other biggest question is, and I said this at the beginning of the season, Philip Grubauer has never been a number one goaltender. And for the first time in his career, he's being asked to be a number one goaltender some 7-8 years into his career. And I have serious questions, doubts about whether or not I can ever envision a day in which Philip Grubauer, as a member of the Avalanche, is hoisted in the Stanley Cup. So I would have been more aggressive in pursuing a goaltender.
Right. I mean, you know what they could have gone after.
Carey Price was the guy I was really interested in them going after. They chose not to do it. They wanted to protect their precious prospects. Lord knows, how in the world do we ever trade Tyson Jost? He was a former first-round pick. But that's what they decided to do. We'll see if my fears were misguided or misfounded.
Well,
and whether or not they'll be able to tide the stem.
They would have it'd been great if they would have traded for Varley, and then they could have hung his jersey up in the rafters as he came back to this triumphant kind of,
They gave a video tribute. Why does that bug you so much? The guy is the second-ranked goalie in every organizational category, behind only the great Patrick Waugh. He was here for 7-8 years. They gave him a video tribute.
Never.
It's not like they came back. Hey, welcome back, Varley. Your number's going up to the rafters.
Never won a playoff series.
That's true.
Video tribute the guy.
Well, Carmelo Anthony only won, what, 2 playoff series in his entire Nuggets career, and he thinks he should have his number retired. And by the way, the only reason the 1 year they did actually win playoff series
mm-hmm.
was because Chauncey was here. Chauncey made all the difference in that team, not Mello.
The difference is that Philip Grubauer didn't expect to get a video tribute. Mello does.
No, Varley did not expect
it. I mean, that's
it.
What I meant.
See?
Varley.
Right.
See, you know what I meant.
As soon as I said it, I was like, am I setting myself up for
when,
all really?
When I'm like, on
no, a, he's just wrong.
When I'm on a roll, you don't stop me. You just keep going
that's
with
right,
the roll.
That's right. That's right.
Let the Twitter people say, Stank, you're wrong again. That was the wrong name.
Germans?
No, never mind.
Twitter.
Exactly. All right, D-Mac and I have a bet.
How are things going there on Fantasy Island? How's the afternoon drive show doing there on Fantasy Island? How's my man Tattoo? Huh? I mean, if I'm Gilligan, D-Mac is clearly Tattoo.
I think that's... I might have to do some more artwork.
Can you just see them? You remember it was... So we have tall,
mm-hmm.
Tyler Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have...
As a team, we're getting tall.
Not so tall. D-Mac, if you can somehow... Dude, you're very good artistically, okay?
Yeah.
Please, go to work on this.
He's not tall.
I've got an assignment for you.
Okay. Right. Give me the assignment.
All right? And this is unfair. I don't know what to do with Nick in this conversation, but I'm gonna put, he's the official, landscaper of Fantasy Island.
I'll just put
man,
a picture.
He's the manscaper.
Okay, just a picture of Nick.
He's the manscaper of Fantasy Island.
Okay.
Keeps
everything clean.
Right? Okay. Keeps everything clean on Fantasy Island.
All right.
Okay? He's tight. Okay. Fantasy Island man is tight.
All right.
Okay. So I need a picture of tall Tyler, not so tall D-Mac in white
suits. Oh, yeah.
Because remember, they were always there.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the plane. They're standing there. Smiles! Smiles!
Smiles, everyone! Smiles!
And you had Ricardo Montalban.
Oh.
And, right. And Tattoo. Okay? If you could do one with Tyler and D-Mac side by side, oh, that'd be wonderful. And then Nick.
Then Nick with
Nick some clippers.
Clippers and a pair of scissors, some goggles on.
Maybe holding a weed whacker.
Right. Like that. Maybe one of them masks.
Right.
You know?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, hey, if we're on Gilligan's Island,
mm-hmm.
they're on Fantasy Island.
I'll take it.
If you had to be on an island, would it be Gilligan's Island or Fantasy Island?
Oh, no.
Fantasy Island I was very suspenseful back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Fantasy Island. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the series.
Uh-huh.
I like to live in reality.
Uh-huh.
So I would...
Gilligan's Island is reality.
Well,
you're... Plus, if I'm going to be stranded on an island, I think I'd rather be with Ginger and Marianne.
Mike would have less competition is what you're saying, right, Mike? On...
Perhaps.
Gilligan's Island.
Perhaps. The odds would be in my favor a little bit more, yeah.
I don't... would they,
I might get the sympathy.
You can't set it up the wrong way!
I might get the sympathy vote. Right.
And Ginger's, Ginger, you know, Ginger, Marianne was kind of young looking. This is probably what you would say to Ginger.
Hi, is that your daughter?
I can't play that enough.
All right. All right. Oh, I got tears in my eyes. Where are we going from here?
I don't know.
Where are we going to go?
Who cares?
Supposed to come up with a... Oh, no, that's 8:45. Chad Brown is going to join us. Okay.
That's obvious.
Yeah, sorry about that. Where to go? Oh, okay. I am going to take another crack at convincing you...
Oh, it's not going to happen.
...that this is the guy the Broncos need to go get. That is next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
What is this that I'm holding in my hands?
That, my friend, is what they refer to as a newspaper.
Millennial Ben, take a good look at it.
Okay, boomer.
Do you know what this is? No.
Who cares?
No, it's not something I dug out of a time capsule, although maybe about 10 years from now, it will be time capsule worthy. Remember that day that they used to have a newspaper? Anyway, I still get the Sunday Denver Post.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, says you're a responsible adult. That's why.
I still like the feel of a newspaper.
Where do you do your best newspapering work?
Ooh.
Well, Sunday morning?
Well, unlike you, who might be the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say it?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, unlike you, who may be the fastest pooper I've ever met.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
I do not tarry.
You do not.
Mm-mm.
I like to linger.
Yes, you do.
So I'm sure you take the paper
in there on Sunday morning.
I either have a newspaper or a Sports Illustrated that I like to. Yeah. My time.
Right.
It's alone time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Okay.
So it was with great interest that Ryan O'Halloran, who covers the Broncos in the NFL for the Denver Post, does a fine job. Headline. Broncos should make move for Vikes Diggs. And I just started nodding my head saying, yes, bravo. And I instantly said, all right, I'm going to take another crack at it. Last week I took a crack at trying to convince you that the Broncos should go after Stephon Diggs, that they do need more receivers. But rather than just taking Cortland Sutton and then just adding two more young receivers, rookie receivers, they need to have a veteran in there. And do I want to overpay for Robbie Anderson? Do I want to overpay for Breshad Perriman? Or do I go with a guy in Stephon Diggs who is a proven performer in this league and is only 26 years old
right. And
is under contract for four more years at a very team-friendly number? I would rather go with Diggs. And last week you were all about, oh, well, he's a bad apple and blah, 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 blah. So O'Halloran continues to make the case to my case. Diggs has consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, caught 102 passes in 2018. Last year, he had 17.9 yards per catch, which was second best among receivers with at least 60 catches. And he would probably cost you, probably a third-round pick. Maybe a second-round pick, but probably okay. A third-round pick. And would you agree with me that the Broncos have 12 picks? It makes no sense to think that they're going to draft 12 guys and keep 12 guys on the team next year, right?
I don't believe they'll draft 12 players. Okay. I believe that they will package some of those picks,
okay.
Move up that guy.
Yeah, you can move up. You could, maybe make a deal in which you say, hey, I want to squirrel away a number one pick for next year.
Right.
You know, and do that. The Patriots did that for a while where they would always have this surplus of picks and they would move around and ensure that they would get an extra first round pick the next year. Then you could do that.
Right.
Or they could do what I think would be very smart, especially if it's a third round pick. Take a third round pick, send it to the Vikings for Stephon Diggs. Come on. And I know you're worried about him being a bad influence. Can I just make this quick argument?
Yeah, please,
okay?
Please.
Here's the argument. If this thing is ever going to turn around, this has to be an offense that starts scoring 25, 26, 27 points per game. The days of living between 17 and 21 points per game have to stop.
Okay? I agree with that.
So if Stephon Diggs allows you to become an offense that starts averaging 24, 25, 26 points per game, then it is more than worth whatever offsetting diva type qualities he may bring. And you know what? If he comes here and you don't build a good enough offense and a good enough team with good enough veterans and good enough leaders to offset the bad apple diva nature of a Stephon Diggs, you're screwed anyway. So for all those reasons, it is a great gamble to take. Have I convinced you?
No.
Have I convinced you?
No, you have not. Do me a favor. You're good at it. Can I get some efforting music, Ben? A little efforting music. Can you, Mike, look up for me NFL scoring leaders, where everybody was on scoring?
Scoring leaders?
Yeah, like who like offensively.
Top scoring teams.
Top scoring teams. I know that, San Francisco was ahead of Kansas City.
Okay. The top scoring offense in the NFL this past year were the
Showtime
for the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Jackson 5.
33.
Then the Niners, right?
Then the Niners at 30.
Then KC.
Then Tampa Bay.
Oh, Tampa Bay.
At 28.6.
Yeah.
New Orleans at 28.6.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs at 28.2.
Yeah.
You need me to keep going?
Where were the Broncos?
The Broncos were at 17.6.
Okay. And where did that rank them?
The only teams that scored less per game than the Broncos were Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Washington.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bengals.
Okay. Where was Cleveland in that?
Cleveland was at 20.9.
But wait, Cleveland has a superstar Hall of Fame 5 quarterback. They went out and got themselves the diva of all diva receivers so that they could score more points, and they're supposed to go to the Super Bowl, right?
That was the off-season message, yes.
I'm just telling you that when you go out and get those players and you mess with the chemistry of your football team and those guys aren't happy with the number of touches or the number of receptions or the number of opportunities they get, that can be like that for a young football team. If you don't have enough veteran leadership and you don't have a quarterback that's established, they can basically take guys by the scruff of the neck and say, we
So you blame the Cleveland Browns underachieving season on Odell Beckham Jr.?
Had a lot to do with it, yes.
And not the fact that Baker Mayfield was out doing a commercial instead of being what a franchise quarterback is supposed to be?
Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point. The overall level of maturity of the Cleveland Browns is not such that you can take on Odell Beckham Jr. The overall maturity of the Denver Broncos on the offensive side of the ball is not one in which you can bring in a dude who's a diva.
I think you're being a bit unfair to put Stephon Diggs in Odell Beckham Jr.'s category. Okay? I mean, if Stephon Diggs was that much of a pariah, that much of a team cancer, I mean, the Vikings have been really good the last few years. Heck, they went to an NFC championship game with Stephon Diggs.
What do you always tell me, Mike? What do you always tell me?
I tell you a lot of things.
Okay.
Many of them are so smart.
Right. So let's use some of your own advice against you.
Okay? This ought to be good.
If your own team doesn't value you enough to keep you after back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons.
Yep.
And great production, and you're a young player, and you're still on a very favorable contract.
Sure.
Then why would you want him if they don't want
him? Very easy answer. Because they're paying a lot of money to Kirk Cousins, a lot of money to Adam Thielen, and they decided that they just could not spend that much money on two receivers. And they chose Adam Thielen over Stephon Diggs. And I'm not gonna argue with that. I would probably choose the same thing. But that's a luxury that the Vikings have to decide that we're spending that kind of money. We'll rather use Stephon Diggs and get his salary off the books. But that's the Vikings' luxury. The Broncos have no such luxuries when it comes to their offense.
I'm telling
you. They need talent. They need an infusion of proven talent.
A young player that is on a cap-friendly contract
that you're just trying to move for a third rounder, that reeks of something's wrong here. That does not pass the smell test. And I'm just telling you that diva nature is a distraction.
But see, here's the point you're making. You think the Broncos right now are in a position where they can get up on the moral high ground or take that kind of, ivory tower type mentality. They can't. They need talent.
This is
the Colander offseason.
They have holes
to fill. And for all the people who are running around saying take Henry Ruggs, okay, there are so many first round flop receivers out there. I would much rather, if all it's going to cost me is a third round pick, is to go out and get somebody who's a proven commodity in this league with a team friendly contract for the next 4 years. And do I need to roll the dice about how, you know, he's going to fit in from a character standpoint? You know what? That's dice I'm willing to roll right now.
Well, we'll see exactly where the Broncos stand, because his old offensive coordinator is now our offensive coordinator. So you'll have a great knowledge. Either I'm right or you're right.
And when was Pat Shurmur most recently the coordinator of the
2017 season, I believe.
2017. Okay.
Malaria, or no, 2016 maybe.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you, you're saying it was 2017?
2016, because 2017, 2018, he was with the Giants, I believe.
Well, no, we're in 2020 now.
Yeah, this is 2017. 2018, 2019, he was with the Giants.
So 2017.
Yeah, 2017.
2017.
That's what I meant.
Stephon Diggs in 2017 had, in his third year in the league, 64 catches, 849 yards and eight touchdowns.
All right.
I'd take that here. And I have a feeling it'd be more. All right. Chad Brown joins us. Get his thoughts on this topic, plus the Carl Durrell hiring. Is he happy? Is he satisfied that CU's going in the right direction? He'll join us next. All right. Apparently, Chad Brown is traveling.
He just big timed us.
Yeah. Well, that happens. No, Millennial Benny's not a jerk. God. Sheesh.
Well, you sold him down the river.
I did a little bit. I don't think he should be.
Yeah, you doing?
I don't think he should be saying that. Chad wasn't big timing us. Chad would never big time us. Life got in the way.
Sometimes that happens.
Sometimes that happens.
Sometimes it happens.
Sometimes it happens. Hey, you and I both love baseball.
Yeah.
You looking at, Cactus League box scores yet, or is it too early?
No. It's a little
too early.
It's a little early for me.
Is it? Not for me.
No,
because I am embracing the Breidich bounce back theory.
Yes. How many guys bounced back yesterday?
Well, how about Daniel Murphy?
He had a bounce back yesterday.
He had a bounce back game. 2 for 2, runs scored.
It's pretty good.
Couple of ribbies. I mean, if you had to line up the Rockies, this is Jeff Breidich's theory, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go out and do anything. I'm standing pat. The hold strategy.
Right.
I'm just counting on every guy who underachieved last year. Oh. One more. Oh. Okay. I'm just going to count on all the guys that underachieved in 2019 are going to bounce back.
Right.
Like they performed in 2018. Who's on that list? Kyle Freeland?
Mm-hmm.
Wade Davis?
Yes.
Daniel Murphy?
Yeah.
And Ian Desmond?
Yes.
And to a lesser extent, guys like Brian Shaw and Jake McGee. Am I leaving anybody out?
Why to a lesser extent, Brian Shaw? Well, because they didn't really have
good years the year before. They just been bad.
But you're bouncing back. Since you're going back to Brian Shaw when he was in Cleveland.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Did any of those other guys play yesterday?
Well, funny you mention that, Mark Schlereth. Yeah. Brian Shaw pitched.
Oh, okay.
A tidy inning. Two hits, two runs. Hey, listen, they're not all going to bounce back at once.
Okay. Some guys take a little longer to bounce back.
All right.
Yeah.
But Daniel Murphy, 2 for 2.
Murph. I like it.
Hey, come on, man. I'm looking for.
I mean, look, I got you.
It's a long season.
I got you.
It's 162 games.
All right.
It's 6 months. Okay.
Did DJ LeMahieu play yesterday?
I'm already thinking of opening day, how we're going to polish that.
Did DJ LeMahieu play yesterday for the Yanks?
Probably was no good.
See, but see, DJ LeMahieu is so good and was so good that
he doesn't need to have a bounce.
He's just gained his work in. See, like, you know how it is, spring training.
Right.
If a veteran is having a rough spring training, just getting his work in.
Right, getting his timing down.
Getting his timing down, seeing pitches.
Working on some things in his swing. He had a couple holes in his swing that he's trying
to work out. You know, trying out some pitches that they don't normally throw, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But if you're one of the bounce back Rockies, hey, you pay attention to your numbers.
Good point. You're just working on your game right now.
You got to build momentum.
I mean, DJ LeMahieu is just working on his game.
He's just working on his game.
Yeah. Ran a couple things out in a swing.
Right.
Good point.
That's right.
That's a really good point.
Just gain his work in.
That's what I love. Just gain your work in right now.
Hey, right. 0-for-8, am I working? And you know what? He's got the benefit of the doubt.
I love spring training, by the way.
Daniel Murphy goes 0-for-8. We're like, no, jeez.
Right. Spring training is great. Just the casual nature, spring training. It's just awesome.
What about this one?
Oh, that one's, I think, better.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Yep. Scotty, we're going to send you a different one.
Yep.
Okay. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, Vic Fangio speaking live from the Combine. Do you agree or disagree with my Fangio mandate? The Fangio mandate states that after a season in which the Broncos finished 4-1, looks like they may have potentially found an answer at quarterback. John Elway comes out and talks about bouncing off the bottom and an offseason that offers the potential of the opportunity to sign 2 to 3 to 4 impact free agents with the money they have, plus the 12 draft picks and what that affords them either through picks or trades. I believe that after a 7-9 season, John Elway believes this should be a 9-win at least wild card team. And if that doesn't happen, knowing the history around here over the last 4 years, somebody is going to be held accountable. It won't be John. It'll be Vic. Vic needs to deliver at minimum a 9-win season next year. Otherwise, he loses his job. That is the Fangio mandate.
I don't buy that. I don't. If you win 9 games, Vic Fangio certainly isn't getting fired. If you win 8 games with essentially a rookie quarterback and you've made some moves, like if you are competitive and all of a sudden your offense, you know, jumps up to, let's call it 22 points a game or 23 points a game, you know, and you lose some close. I think. Then you feel really confident about we're on the right track and our young quarterback played pretty well. And
you go from 7 wins to 8 wins with everything, how the season ended last year, what he said, and all the opportunities to improve the team in the offseason. They improved by 1 win. You think that will satisfy John Elway to the point where he will maintain the status quo?
So you're going to fire Vic Fangio, and then you're going to have Vic Fangio, who you're still paying out a contract on, and you're going to have Vance Joseph, you're still paying a contract
on. Mark, this isn't what, you know, listen, I would love to have seen more continuity around here with the coaching staff over the last few years. I'm trying to predict how John Elway's looking at things. Right. And for a guy who has been one constant throughout John Elway's tenure here in charge the last 4 years has been constant change.
Well, you think
so.
About
what makes you think that?
Yeah. How many?
Improving by 1 win means status quo.
At some point, don't you have to, as John Elway, be held accountable for the guys you hire?
Well, duh. But well, when is that day going to come?
I mean, you're probably still paying contracts on Joe Woods, and you're still paying contracts on Vance Joseph, and you're still paying contracts. I mean, think about guys you're paying. Rich Scangarello, how many years did Rich see? He had to sign for at least a 3-year deal, right?
So you got in 2 more years, you're paying him. So the way that works is they'll pay him out whatever he signed to be the quarterback's coach. Like, they have to pay him the difference. So if the difference was, a couple $100,000 or $500,000, they have to pay it.
Yep. All right. Speaking of Vic Fangio, he is set to speak live at the Combine as we hand things off to Sandy in Orlando next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.